2 weeks in, guess where? The Himalayas. Big surprise. It was wonderful to get to see our nation's missionaries out there, John and Soyon Thompson. Also to get to see Scott and Sarah Smith, who are working out there with us, as well as many of the other workers, and encourage them. I was able to send your greetings, and they feel so, I think, uplifted by your prayers, by your support, by your giving, by your involvement, and also by the visits that this church is able to make out there. We are involved in a monumental task of taking on those mountains, together not only ourselves, but with many other organizations and individuals, in carrying the good news of Jesus Christ to people who have absolutely never heard of his name before. And I cannot think of anything better to be doing than to exalt the name of the Lord amongst people who don't know him. And I have a psalm for you here that I just want to read a small portion of. It's out of Psalm 96. It won't be on the screen behind me. If you brought your Bible, you can follow along. If not, just listen. It says this, Psalm 96, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. They will sing before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his truth." What a beautiful psalm that speaks of the desire and the great movement of exalting God's name among the nations. And there are many reasons that I believe we should be involved in missions. And we're not going to get into all those today, but it's a wonderful study to do out of God's Word, to look at the patterns and the threads throughout Scripture that speak of God's heart for the nations. But I think perhaps if we were to have to single out one of those reasons that came to the top of the list as to why missions, why should we be involved in getting the good news of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth? Yes, for the salvation of souls. Yes, so that people can escape the judgment of God and come into his rest forever. But chief and foremost is what we read here in Psalm 96, that the glory of God can be experienced and the name of the Lord can be exalted over all the earth. And that's a beautiful reason to get involved in this great task of carrying the gospel to those who have never heard it before. We're going to watch a video here in just a moment. It's several different clips are going to come to you. And we've actually got two videos to show you today. So it's a little less of me, more on videos today. It's going to be some information that I think that you will find really helpful in highlighting the great need of people like you and I, people like or this church, and its calling to take the gospel to where it's never been before. There's going to be some messages on here from some of our missionaries. There's also going to be a story of a wonderful group that we were able to host from South Africa. Anybody here from South Africa? Yes, we have someone great. And we've had other people from South Africa through here before. And let me tell you a little bit of the interesting and, I believe, beautiful dynamic of our congregation here. You know, we have such diversity, people from so many different countries and nations coming from, and then we have a mission in going to the nations. But one of the things that, Jenny and I, when we came to Korea almost 7 years ago, we really kind of had to scratch our head at some point and say, okay, God, what are you doing with us? What is this about? Lord, Korea has so many churches. There's a wonderful work here in Korea. Lord, what's your plan in all this? And God just said, continue to step forward, and we did. But I can tell you now, looking out over the past 7 years and what God has done, not only today, but in our church throughout that short history, we have been able to meet people from around the world, literally from countries that I had never heard of before, that have passed through here. Maybe they've come for a year, maybe they've spent a shorter amount of time here, or maybe even longer. It's enabled us to connect together. And then as those people go back into other parts of the world, God had done something in their heart during their time here in Korea. And as they go back, they're able to unfold what God had accomplished in their heart and bring incredible light and incredible hope to places that were in great need of a touch of God. And one of those places has been South Africa. We had a wonderful couple here several years ago, Joseph and Michelle Fourier, who were members here, very active, very involved. They were part of the missions team. Some of you might remember them from years back. And they went back, took a position in a church in South Africa, and said, you know what, we're going to bring our people to be involved in what Mountain Child is doing. And we've now seen that repeated several different times. And I have to go back and think, wow, God, your providence in bringing this group of people here together in Suwon, South Korea, and delivering a message to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And that message has now gone back into different parts of the world. And now we're starting to see even how those networks and contacts are coming back to serve God's grand purpose in taking the gospel to the unreached. I couldn't have planned that. You couldn't have planned that. But God, in his wonderful wisdom, has seen how that could take place, and it's only just the beginning. If you're new to the nations and you don't know what we're about seeing people delivered, people set free, people become strong and find their God-given purpose, but we're also about delivering hope to the unreached of the world. We're going to continue to do that for the years to come. So I want to encourage you, if you can, get involved. If you can, participate on a mission trip with us. Come and see for yourself. This last trip, we had four different teams from four different parts of the world coming together. It was chaos. Let me say, it was a whirlwind, a hub of activity. I thought, what are we doing? I made four trips to the airport within 24 hours, and that's 2 hours each way. So I was in the car a lot. It was a busy, busy time, but nothing excited my heart more than to see people coming from all over the world to participate in strapping on a backpack and walking into areas that had never heard the name Jesus Christ, delivering medicine, delivering temporal hope and eternal hope to them through the revelation of God's Son, Jesus. And this short little video is going to highlight some of the things that Mountain Child is doing. If you're wondering what is the relationship between Mountain Child and the nations, well, you know, the nations right here and what God has done is the wellspring where this work has come out of. It is the platform that God has decided to use to establish a foundation that will serve his purposes in these unreached areas. And Mountain Child is just an extension of our work right here in Korea. It is an arm that God is using as a tool in his hand. It is a harvest instrument bringing in souls from around the world. And we're going to watch a video now. Hopefully it'll be self-explanatory. I think you'll see some familiar faces, and I hope you can enjoy this. Let's go ahead and dim the lights and get this going.
Hi, the nations. It's Pastor Jack here. You may not recognize me, but it's me. I'm standing at about 10,000 feet in the remote Himalayan village of Jomsom. We've flown up here today by a small prop plane, and looks like we're going to be hemmed in by weather. I just want to say a big thank you for all of your support, what you're doing to raise money and awareness for this great cause of bringing the gospel to these unreached areas. Here in these mountains, many places, the gospel has never been heard of. The name Jesus Christ has never been mentioned. No church, no Bible. But it's your efforts, it's your faithful giving, it's your support, and most importantly, your prayers that are making these things possible. I'm here today with the Mountain Child team. We're strategizing on all kind of ways to get the good news of Jesus Christ to these remote areas. I encourage you, if you can, sign up on the next trip. Join us out here and see for yourself what God is doing and His Spirit working through you to reach those who have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Right behind me is one of the Army checkposts leading into the district of Mustang, one of the most remote and cut-off, isolated places here in the Himalayas. Just one of the places that we're seeking to carry hope to the Mountain Child. This scene is repeated throughout the Himalayas, stretching for thousands of miles in each direction.
Hey, everybody. I'm at Annapurna Base Camp right now. I think it's like 12,000, 13,000 feet or something like that. Anyways, I've been hiking with a team from South Africa for the last 4 days. It's been really, really hard, but it's been really awesome. We've gone to some villages, done some preaching, handing out medicine, just been having a great time. This is the first trip that Sarah and I were leaders, and it's been a really good experience. You can see all these prayer flags and stuff around us. It's really cool up here. Behind me, right back over my shoulder, I don't know if you can see it, is a Fishtail Mountain. And it's huge. It's 21,000 feet. Back over in this area behind me, that's one of the Annapurna Mountains. And this one right there, I think, is that thing is like 23,000 feet. Huge. It's been very cool, though. And we love you guys. We've been thinking about you. And hope that you guys can come out and do this with us sometime.
I like to say, this is a mission trip. Yeah, this is not trekking.
Yeah, because there's like these easy paths that tourists usually take. But yeah, we took the paths that go like this.
All this stuff you see on Discovery Channel and postcard photos.
Right, it was different. The people knew. We came because Jesus sent us.
We came to spread the gospel to unreached.
They're unreached.
When we went to villages where the Lord really had appointments planned, there's just this feeling that the Lord's going to do something there.
I can't explain it.
And the villages we go to, you have to trek to get there. There are no roads.
This is really, really tough getting here.
I really suffered the first day, and I was like depressed and just wanted to give up.
I did train a little bit, and then I was blown away by every 4,275 steps I had to take.
I didn't think it's going to be so hard, but it's worthwhile climbing all the stairs, thousands of stairs, and so just to get to a village to tell people of Jesus.
It's very understandable why it's unreached. Because it's so high up, it's so difficult to get there.
When we go on treks, a lot of times we will distribute medicine, and that will gather a crowd. People will come out because they're curious. They want to see who are these foreigners that have come to our village. So through that curiosity, we gather a crowd, and we use that opportunity, and we use the advantage of being foreigners to share the gospel with these people.
We went to one village, Gondruk, of 1,200 people with no Christians, and the gospel had never been shared there before because of the religious superstitions. They actually believe that if they listen to the gospel or read tracts, that they will go crazy. So up until now, they have refused to listen to the gospel at all.
When Beidou came, our translator and guide, we decided we want to share in this village. They put out mats and we all sat down, and we started telling them about Jesus.
Then where I preach about the deliverance from like a ghost and the evil spirit, really they are very interested to listen.
And there was this one boy who everyone in the village believed that he was possessed by an evil spirit. And so they asked us to pray for him. Everyone just gathered around him and started praying for him. And when we were finished praying, he stood up and he looked like in my direction, and he was just smiling. And I could just see he had this peace on his face, which he didn't have before.
He also told our guide that he wanted to know Jesus more.
Another strategy that we use is passing out tracts or pamphlets that contain gospel messages like Jesus can heal you, or Jesus can free you from evil spirits, or just simply about salvation. And whereas these tracts are not extremely useful in the West because people tend to throw them away immediately, they are so, so useful here.
I want to give my testimony too, because of before many years, just I knew about the Jesus through the tracts.
They're interested. If you come with a tract, they think, what is this, and they want to know more. And
People will immediately begin to read them, and people will save them.
Two porters, maybe they don't know how to read, yeah? And they just very respectfully keep this, tracts and said it. And when I will reach in my home, then I will tell my son or daughters, and they will read for us.
And so kind of a strategy we've developed on this trip is a lot of our guys will walk in front, and they'll hand out these pamphlets and tracts to the guides as they come by. And by the time those guides get to the back of our team, there is Beidou, our translator and guide, and he asked them, just as Philip asked the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, he comes alongside them and says, "Excuse me, do you understand what you're reading?" And then that gives him an opportunity to explain in their native tongue.
It just seemed to a really good idea to bring a group of youngsters instead of letting them go on summer holidays in South Africa and get all smashed and whatever, to broaden their vision, to show them what God has on his heart for the nations, and that there is life beyond the comfort of their own homes and their environment which they are in.
To be a team member and to be a trekker and to see somebody hear the gospel for the first time is an unforgettable experience, and we really want to share that experience with every team that comes with Mountain Child.
When Scott told them about Jesus, it was my first time that I really saw how people are taught about Jesus.
It was really surprising when we stopped the first village and you guys started sharing and just like openly telling them who Jesus is. So that was really surprising, and it gave me a new outlook on sharing the gospel.
It's been so great to see the boys kind of grow and get bolder along the way. The first day they were a little hesitant when it came to sharing, and they weren't quite sure what to do. And by the second day, you know, several of the boys were sharing in front of a group of 30 their testimonies of healing from the trip and testimonies from their own life. And now they're excited to keep sharing and to do more.
And here's this whole village, and not one of them has ever heard about Jesus. I had the wonderful experience of sharing my story for the first time with them. I was quite nervous at the beginning and didn't know what to expect. And I was unsure, and I just asked the Holy Spirit to be with me and just to lead me in what to do and what to share and how to tell it. And I must say, it was it's an indescribable experience. It was wonderful. I'm so looking forward to doing it again.
My favorite experience was visiting the villages, spreading the gospel and medicine and stuff, and just sharing the word of God and the truth, and seeing these people who never heard of Jesus before, like really interested in the word.
Before this trip, I was like focused on, obviously I just finished school, so I'm gonna study and get my degree and then start working and earn money. But now I've realized everything isn't just about getting your degree and starting your career. I think my perception changed a little bit to after I finished studying. Just to, as long as I'm able to, just go out and, you'd say, become a missionary for, say, 3-4 years.
I would recommend this to any person of my age.
It's just been amazing. And just to sit in the bedrooms in the mornings and hear the boys speak and how the Lord has touched their lives and the healings that's been done and the things they've experienced has just made this all the worthwhile. I mean, can it be any better? So we came with a bunch of boys, and I think I'm taking a couple of young men back.
There is some resistance when coming into these villages that it can only be broken through prayer, and every time, every day, we pray for the villages we're going to the next day, and we pray for the villages that we've visited that day already, that God would water the seeds that we've planted there, and that God, the Holy Spirit would precede us and open doors and open hearts, and we have seen that happen every single day on this trip. We've come into a village and they've been open and accepting.
Because of all the prayer going on in Nepal and from this church back in South Africa, we really felt like the doors were open to get to share in places that have never been shared before.
I think the openness of the people, the eagerness to listen has been amazing. I mean, the Hindu lady in the first village will possibly stay with me until forever. I mean, just getting there and she's inviting us in, and she was like nodding the whole time and wanting to listen and taking all the tracks, and
the people how open they are for Christ.
These two Nepali guys passed us and they were like asking for the tracks, and it was like they really really wanted it.
Then they're really interested and they said, yeah, we want Jesus said it.
But there's just almost a desperate call out from these people to experience more, to know more.
That is really a wonderful experience, realizing that if we don't tell them about Jesus planting the seed for the first time, these people may most probably never hear about Jesus, and then we will never see them when they're in heaven.
Yeah, that was another surprise, just going to the villages and seeing that the people haven't heard about Jesus at all. I mean, we've always heard about the unreached people and the unreached people groups and things like that, and you'd always think, oh, that's those people, and I do understand people back home will say, but what about Africa, what about South Africa, we don't even have to go to Africa to go there. The thing is, they are there. There are so many opportunities and so many people in South Africa and Africa, and there's so many people, countries sending missionaries to Africa and to go and work there, that they're kind of covered, if I can put it like that. All it takes is for good people to do nothing to for nothing to happen, and there's plenty of good people that just needs to step out of their situation to serve. If we really wanted to invest in outreaches and getting the boys like our matric group involved, I think building a relationship with Mountain Child and with Jack and everyone to come back on a yearly basis would be amazing. Just because there's such a need. And we now know about it. And since we know about it, we need to do something about it. And we just can't sit now back and fold our hands and say, well, that was nice. That's just not good enough.
Hi, Nations, this is John from Kathmandu, Nepal, enjoying the balmy weather here. We really miss you guys. We really thank you for all your prayer and support, and just for allowing us to be here, and we really miss you guys and love to keep in touch through email and Skype, so give us a call. Thank you so much.
Thompson in Nepal, Kathmandu, and we are here at our house on our veranda, and we just wanted to say hi and tell you all that Judah misses you, and we think of you guys often, and we really appreciate all your prayers and all your support, and hearing from you guys every now and then means a lot to us. And so thanks for all that you do, and we're praying for you too.
Yeah, some of the things that we're involved in is we're really learning the language, really dedicating ourselves to learning Nepali, so that's been interesting. We've been doing a little bit of short-term team stuff. We're really pleased to have you guys come, some of you, in January, and looking forward to seeing some of you come in September, so watch up for that trip. And also, we've been doing a Bible study with some of the monks from one of the local monasteries, and just being really involved in some of the sex trafficking stuff and some of the engineering things. So we've been quite busy, but having a really good time. We really love it here, and we're here because you guys have allowed us to be here, so thank you so much. So we miss you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we can get the lights back on. So there's a little report from the Himalayas and from the Thompsons. It was so good to see them. I don't know if you picked up in that. Yeah, let's give the Thompsons a hand. I don't know if you picked up in what John said, but one of the really exciting developments that has happened in the last really probably 6 weeks, or probably 2 months, I would say, is that some of the local monasteries with proper Tibetan Buddhist saffron robe wearing shaven head monks are wanting a Bible study, and have actually invited John there into the monastery to teach them the Bible. So he has now about 15 monks that he is teaching a chronological Bible storytelling to. And that's something that I didn't expect. Perhaps my faith wasn't strong enough, I don't know. But I thought, well, maybe someday we'll see that happen. But it's happening now. And it's really happening because people like this are there. And they're presenting themselves as a tool in God's hand. And so we're so grateful to them. One of the also really encouraging things that I was able to talk to, especially Soyon, who is from here as a missionary, is she is starting if you know Soyon, she's really into art. Maybe some of you remember her always doing something artistic. And she helped to get our art mingles off the ground at Mosaic Cafe several years ago. And what she is doing now is has a group of women who have formerly been trafficked and is using art as a healing process in their life and also as an opportunity to open up them up to share the gospel with them. And so these really beautiful women who have had such a horrendous experience in life and have been trafficked there in Nepal are now, through art, finding Christ, and then we're able to promote that and sell that art and give all the money back to those women to provide an income for them. So some very tangible projects that we have going on. There are too many for us to have the time here in this meeting to go through and to go down a list. But those are some of the exciting things. The South Africa team, they're wanting to come back this year in December. And we have so many teams. I think there are something around 25 teams just this year from around the world that are wanting to come. And we're already, our schedule is filled up for 2012. And that is happening from right here. This is it, right in this room. Your prayers, your support, your energy, your finances are going to fuel this work to create a platform for the nations to come, literally, not just our church, but nations from across the world, and get involved in this great task. There are multiple ways that you can get involved, and just before we finish today, I want to talk about a few of those. Prayer is so important, and we're going to see another quick video here in just a second on prayer. And then another way is that you can help us by getting involved financially. I think 5 years of our existence as a church here, I've never taken an offering or anything for our missions work specifically. But, and I'm not going to do it today either. So, but if you want to get involved and you want to help, you can go back there and you can find one of these forms. And we also have a water jug back there that you can make a donation in. All of this that you see, getting out there, delivering tracts, delivering medicine, building health posts, building schools, building water treatment facilities, it doesn't come free. Matter of fact, it's even more expensive, believe it or not. It's more expensive to do it in the mountains because you got to carry it for 2 weeks up into the mountains, and that costs money to get it up there. That's why so little has happened. So we need supporters. We need people to get behind the work. You can do that by filling out one of these. We have this in either English or Korean. You can find that on the table in the back. There also in the back, you will find some beautiful Nepali and Tibetan pieces that we're also selling to raise money for the work out there. Your purchase of those items will go directly back into the work in Nepal and the projects that we're involved in. We're going to watch this next short video on prayer, and then we'll just about be finished.
We can reach our world
if we will.
The greatest lack today
is not people are fun. It's not people are funds. It's not people are money.
The greatest need
is prayer.
Is prayer.
Is prayer.
Is prayer.
A few can go, many can give,
but all can play.
Okay, so that's one way that you can get involved is through prayer. I'm going to ask Catherine to come, who's leading this prayer group. She's going to introduce it and tell you how you can get involved.
I just wanted to give a little background about how this came about. I've been in touch regularly with Soyeon since her and John left for Nepal. And I think once they got there, they really realized how important prayer support would be to the work that they're doing there. So she had asked me if I would be willing to start a prayer group for a mountain child. And I said, absolutely, yes, I would love to. So I'm excited about this because I really believe that this is a way that we can partner with God and with Mountain Child to bring about this mission's work and to work on this end to reach the unreached. Not all of us can go. Not all of us can even give, but all of us can pray. We can all be involved in reaching the unreached. So I invite you to sign up for a prayer group. We're going to hopefully have four groups going that are going to meet once a month after service. The plan is that you would eat lunch with your group and then gather here in the auditorium again and pray for 45 minutes to an hour for the work there. And yeah, so if you have any questions or you'd like to sign up, I'm going to be at the table at the back after service, and feel free to talk to me and sign up. Thanks.
Thank you, Catherine. Well, that's our Mission Sunday. That's our report for today. And I just want to encourage you to remember those in the world around us who have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And that can also start in being bold right where you're at. Being bold with your family members, being bold with your work colleagues, being bold in your apartment complex, wherever you find yourself. You can meet people who need Jesus Christ. And it's not that these people are any more valuable than the people that we're surrounded by. It's that these people have never even had an opportunity. And we feel obliged to glorify the name of Jesus Christ amongst them. But, you know, I found out that the best missionaries, the best people on the field are the ones that make the difference also at home. The ones who are bold with their faith, the ones who are really active in their pursuit of the things of God. It's those kind of candidates that make great missionaries. And I know we have many people like that here today. I'm going to go ahead and close the service, or I'm going to pray for this. Then we're going to ask the ushers to come forward and receive our offerings today for the nations. And then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our midst, for using this group of people right here in Suwon, Lord, a beautiful mixture, a diverse community from all over the planet to come together and somehow hear your wisdom and see your hand working in our midst to accomplish great things that are so far bigger than just us. Lord, we continue to surrender to your plan and say, Lord, use us. Build your work upon us. Use us as a platform for your glory amongst the nations. Father, I thank you also for the tithes and offerings that we're about to receive, Lord, that as we give it, Lord, we do so with a cheerful heart and knowing, Lord, that it can do incredible things for your kingdom. Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.